There was once a time when saying, you know, I'm a Christian meant something. It meant that we were, I don't know, not necessarily good people, but definitely better than we've been. Being a Christian is being on a road to progress, a road of progress that leads to holiness.
This is season 8 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. God's holy word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's word right now.
Now I would invite you to take out your Bibles, either the ones in the pews or the ones that you brought with you, and turn them with me to the book of Mark, chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 24 through 37 in Mark's Gospel today. We come to the season of Advent, and Advent is not just the season before Christmas. It's the beginning of the church year. It's the first season of the church calendar, as it were. And it is a time when we, as Christians, are reminded that we are anticipating more than just Christmas time. We're not just anticipating the celebration of the birth of Christ, which happened, but also we are anticipating the return of Christ, which is yet to come. In the season of Advent, we celebrate the three incarnations of Christ, when he first came to be born in a manger, and also that he comes and dwells in each of us. And thirdly, that he will return again in glory to bring all things to an end. So let us hear the words of the Lord for us today. Mark chapter 13, and beginning at verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon us as we ponder these words of Christ in our lives today. We give great thanks for the testimony of Mark, who has left these words for us. Let them speak to our hearts today through your Holy Spirit. Guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at the beginning of this year, Amazon decided to try a new program, which was to use its warehouse associates for driving the yard truck and moving trailers on and off the doors to bring freight into the building. And they thought it would be a way to, you know, save money on, they were paying a third-party company to do all the yard moves. And so a lot of people signed up in the very beginning. I was one of them. And I had done it before. I had driven the yard truck before for National Freight years and years ago. And so I thought it would be kind of easy for me to pick up again, no problem. But most of the people who were driving these trucks had no experience either driving the yard truck or, you know, trying to back a 53-foot trailer into a dock door, you know? So, yeah. One of the things, too, I think that people weren't expecting was that the hours would be different. The hours for the yard drivers from the very beginning, we were set up to work from 8 in the morning till 2 at night in 6-hour shifts. But I think the people who worked at night especially weren't really prepared for what was coming, because it seems like everything is done by about 11 o'clock. And then there's no moves until about 1:30. So you kind of sit in your truck waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and nothing happening. And you're just sitting there and waiting, and there's not a whole lot you can do. So some of the people, not me, by the way, but some of the people would kind of fall asleep in the truck. And now Amazon doesn't pay people to sleep. So when people would get caught sleeping, they would be not fired, but removed from the truck driver program. So in very short order, we went from having about 30 drivers to maybe 15, you know? Yeah, because a lot of the people were sleeping in a truck. It's the same way with what Jesus is telling us. You know, Jesus doesn't leave us to our own devices so that we can sleep, as it were. But rather, we are called to always be engaged in active ministry to the world, to be constantly proclaiming the gospel, the good news that Jesus came and died for our sins. And in the season of Advent, we are reminded not just that he came one time, but that he will return. And in fact, this is what he says today. In verse 24, he begins by saying, "But in those days, after that tribulation." Now, if I start a story by saying, "But in those days after that tribulation," you're like, "What days? What tribulation? What are you talking about?" Right? We have to look at this in context. Mark chapter 13 is the apocalyptic chapter of Mark's gospel. And it is it's basically the same as what is recorded in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, which is what we call the Olivet Discourse. So Jesus is teaching on the Mount of Olives, and it begins, you have to look at all the way back at the beginning of chapter 13. They were in the temple, and they were walking by the temple, and the disciples were saying to Jesus, "Look at this temple. Look at the fine stones that it is made of." And Jesus said to them, "You see this great building? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now that was a prophecy that he was giving. It came to pass actually in 70 AD when the Jewish revolt was put down by the Roman army rather violently, and ultimately the Roman army destroyed the temple and threw all the stones of the temple down below. Now in the middle part of the 20th century, the area right next to the Temple Mount was excavated, and they found these stones from the original temple, which had been thrown down. And you could actually see the broken pavement from where the stones had been thrown down. Huge, massive stones, some 4 tons or more. And they were thrown down and they broke the pavement below. So that is what Jesus is talking about there. Now, the disciples, everybody wants to know the timeline. If Jesus knows it's going to happen, he surely must know when it's going to happen. And so they said to him, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? So he says, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. These are the beginnings of the sorrows. Some translations say these are the beginnings of the birth pangs. Think about women when they go into labor. That very first contraction doesn't signal that the child is coming in 5 minutes, right? It's usually a long time after that. That first contraction is not like one contraction, out comes a baby. But it's the beginning of the birth pangs. And that's what he's saying here. All these things are going to happen, but it's only the beginning of the birth pangs. Then he says, take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among the nations. So he says, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted because of your association with Jesus Christ. Now, for many people who think that being a follower of Christ means that life will be peaches and cream and everything will be fine, and you will never experience any troubles in your life, that's not true. Being a follower of Christ means making a lot of hard decisions. It means following God and following Christ, even sometimes at the expense of people in society may look down upon you because of the way that you are. There was once a time when saying, you know, I'm a Christian meant something. It meant that we were, not necessarily good people, but definitely better than we've been. You know, I often hear James McDonald say, you know, I'm not what I could be and I'm not what I should be, but I'm not what I have been. You know, being a Christian is being on a road to progress, a road of progress that leads to holiness. And unfortunately, especially in our society today, that holiness kind of flies in the face of what society expects of us. And so he says, you will be hated. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Then he goes on to this. He says, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. That's a parenthetical from Mark himself. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, neither shall be. So he's saying that in that time, there will be no mistaking. There is going to be tribulation such as the world has never seen before. Now what we see as tribulation, we see earthquakes, we see wars, rumors of wars in our day. But are they the worst that it has ever been? That's the question. And he also speaks of this desolation of the abomination of desolation. And what is that? That is when someone, we don't know who, but someone will desecrate the temple grounds by sacrificing a pig on it. Okay? That someone will go to the temple and sacrifice a pig to desecrate the grounds. And that is the abomination of desolation. When that happens, then that is a very clear sign that the end is coming very near. It hasn't happened yet. And we don't know what would cause such a thing to happen or why it would get there. But then we come to this point. He says, now, in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Jesus is saying that when the end comes, you won't be able to mistake it. You won't sit to and say to yourself, you know, I wonder if this is the end time. This is the end time. The sun will be darkened. The moon will no longer give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. Very clear celestial signs given by God, who is the creator and ruler of the universe. And then he says, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. This is another sign that came to us from the book of Daniel. Daniel's prophecy said that the Son of Man, he saw one like a Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. I think that this is not going to be a local event. It's not going to be something that is going to happen in one place in the world, but I think that everywhere in the world people are going to see this happening. I don't know how, but I think that when it happens, nobody will miss it. Nobody will miss it. It will happen and everybody will see it. He says, then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And he's saying everybody's going to be gathered up. The living and the dead will be raised and brought together. He says, now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. It's the same way with us. If we see the trees, they look dead in the winter, don't they? But in the springtime, they start to become more supple. They start to put forth buds. The leaves start to break out on the trees. And then we know that summer is just around the corner. We know the summer is coming. And it's the same way with the fig tree. He says, so ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. And he says, verily I say to you, that all that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, much has been given to why he said this generation shall not pass. Does it mean that the people who were standing there that he was talking to, that they will not die before they see this coming? Obviously, that hasn't taken place. But when he's speaking of this generation, he's speaking of believers in general. In other words, the church is going to survive until the very end. That nothing will tear down the church. Now, much has been said in the past few years that the Christian church is on the way out. You know, that we see a decline in attendance, we see a decline in professing Christians in this nation. In the past decades, we've seen a decline of people who call themselves Christian from 85% down to 71% currently. But that doesn't mean that Christianity is on the decline everywhere. In fact, in some parts of the world, it's growing. exponentially. Maybe not here in the United States, but definitely in other places in the world. And so the church itself, believers, will continue until the very end. It was often said, or it has been said, that Christianity will not last for another 50 years. I think that that has been said in the past as well. In fact, Voltaire was a Renaissance thinker, and one who was a staunch atheist, and said that within 100 years, no one would be reading the Bible, and that Christianity would be dead. That was his prediction. Well, it's been more than 100 years. It's actually been about 250 years since his death. Interestingly enough, about 75 years after his death, the Bible Society bought his property and began to use his printing press to produce Bibles. Go figure, right? So, obviously he was not right in what he said. This is what Jesus says, though. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. Oh, wait, he says in verse 32, he says, but of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. No one knows the day and the time of his return. No one knows. And even Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, was not privy to this information. Now you think to yourself, well, how in the world was it possible that Jesus, who is the second person in the Godhead, would not know the day and the hour? Well, because in his human incarnation, God the Father had not given him this information, and probably for good reason. Because if we knew the day and the hour when Jesus would return, then we could just do whatever we want and then repent at the last minute. Maybe if we knew that Jesus wasn't going to come in our lifetime, then we could just act however we want and then just repent at the end of our lives, as if we know when that's going to be. But Jesus said, no one knows. So then he says, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. And then he says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Going back to my story about Amazon and the drivers, whenever somebody was caught sleeping, they were removed from the program. You know, and it's sort of the same way with Jesus. He's saying, stay awake, stay alert, always be ready, always be at your work. You know, Jesus left work for his church to do. And so we are called to continue in that work. He gave us the Great Commission, where he said, go and make disciples of all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have taught you. So we are called to continue in that work. And then he finishes with this. He says, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. There's a couple of parts in this particular discourse that Mark sort of injects his own commentary, and this is one of those. He says, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. In other words, he's not just talking to his disciples, he's also talking to anybody who are reading these words. He's not just talking to his disciples in that time, but also to us today. So Advent is the season of waiting. The reading from Mark today is about waiting and watching. Jesus tells his followers to be mindful that the day is coming when he shall return. And he describes it in great detail. He says that the Son of Man will come on the clouds, invoking the Old Testament prophecy from the book of Daniel. Are we in the 21st century? We don't like to wait. We grow impatient waiting for our food to cook in the microwave. We order things online rather than going to the store, and we need delivery overnight. But the follower of Christ who reads his words in Mark's gospel is advised to wait. Wait for the return of our Christ. Wait for an action of God. But again, we grow weary of waiting. And so Jesus tells a parable about a man who went on a long journey, leaving his servants unsupervised. And the point of his story is that when the master returns, and the servants do not know when he will return, he must and should find them awake. This is the admonition that Christ gives to us all. And he indicates this by saying the words, "What I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." His words were meant for his disciples in his own day, and they are meant for us in ours. We have been waiting 2,000 years for the return of Christ. And how many have grown weary of waiting? But when Christ returns, and he will he find us waiting? Will he find us awake? Let us pray. Father God, we wait in great anticipation for the return of your Son. In the season of Advent, Lord, remind us in our hearts that your Son will return in a day and hour that no one knows. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we may wait and watch, so that we may be found awake at his return, so that we may be counted as faithful followers of Christ all of our lives. And let our faith infect those around us. Let the good news be proclaimed in our houses, in our workplaces, around dinner tables as we gather during this Advent season. May the good news of Jesus Christ be ever upon our hearts, so that we may proclaim it in faith to a world that is filled with darkness. All this we pray, Lord, in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. And God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. If you don't have a church family to call your own and you live in the area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Of course, if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family. Hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.